Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Nun Dalet. We continue to learn for the safety of all the Kochas of Yitochon, the Chayalim, the Shotrim, the EMTs, everybody who's being Moser Nefesh for Klai Yisrael. It's been a very difficult time for Klai Yisrael. We have to continue davening. We can't lose our strength and our determination. Be'ezus Hashem, Hashem should make us successful in everything that we do to return the hostages safely. All those in need of a foolish language should have one. And there should be no more korbanos, and those nebuch that are in avelus, and those that need nechama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be menachem. Okay, in yesterday's shiur, we brought down a famous machlokas between the author of our Mishnah, the Chachamim, who say that it's shor velo adam, chamor velo kelim, if an animal falls into a pit, and there's kelim also that are broken, so yechayev, the owner of the pit, is chayev to pay for the animals, the shor, or the chamor, but you're not chayev to pay for the kelim. And they darshan that out from this drasha, shor velo adam, chamor velo kelim. Rabbi Yehuda had disagreed. Rabbi Yehuda had said, no, that the word o, in the fal shom shor, o chamor, he says that includes kelim. Now, we're going to re-examine this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in the following way. Let us say, we begin three lines on the top, Nundalud and Aleph, Ema. Let us say that in fact, V'nofal shom ashar o chamor, the word V'nofal is a klal, anything that falls in, and then it says shor and v'chamor, that's a prat, shor o chamor, V'nofal shom ashar o chamor, that's a prat. And therefore, this is a klal uprat. You have a generalization, v'nafal, then it tells us specifics, shor and chamor, so therefore, ein b'chlal elamash uprat. When you have a klal uprat, the rule is that the drosha is only things that are specified. Shor v'chamor in midiach v'nalo. That would imply that it's only a shor and a chamor, and it's nothing else. So Gemara says, no, that's not right. Amre, it says, Baal Habor Yishalem. It continues in that pasuk. It says, Baal Habor Yishalem, Kesef Yashiv Levolov, Vamesi Elo. In the next pasuk, it tells us that there's a Baal Habor Yishalem. That's another klal. So we really have over here, Chazar V'klal, and you have a klal upratu klal. When you have a klal upratu klal, Iatadon Elo Ke'ein Haprat. So then in this situation, you have only what the halacha is, what's specified in the prat, and anything like the prat. Yatadon ella ke'ein haprat. Now, what's the prat? Shor and chamor. Mahaprat mefurish bali chayim. Shor and chamor are live things, live animals. So too, any live animal, af kol bali chayim, they're falling, you're going to be chayim for, but not kelim. So Gemara says, wait a second. Ima haprat mefurish dover shenivlasa mitama b'magu masa. Wait a second. Shor and chamor, they have a din that's similar to them. The common denominator is that they're not only bali chayim, but their nevela is mitame b'maga umasa. If you touch it or you move it, so then that's going to impart tumah on the person that touches it or moves it. So to anything that has tumas maga umasa from nevela, so af kol davar shenivlasa mitama b'maga ubimasa, but that would then exclude avol ofos lo. Birds would not be included in this din. However, in fact, birds are included in this din. You would be chayiv for birds in a bar. So therefore, this way of darshaning is a klal upratu klal, saying that it's things that have tumas maga and masa as their nevela will come to exclude ofos. So Gemara says, if that were true, im kein nichtov rachmona chad prata. If you wanted to exclude ofos, then it should have just said the nofal shoma shor, and don't say chamor, and then baal habor yishalem. And then you'd have a klat upral uklat. So therefore, if you wanted to exclude birds, you would have only mentioned one of them. Nichtov rachmona chad prata. So Gemara asks, which one? Hai nichtov. Which one should we write? Shor or chamor? Ikosav shor. If you just wrote the word shor and try to use that to teach us that it is just mago, maso, things like a shor, so have a meaning. You know what I said? Karev legabi mizbeach in, sheno karev legabi mizbeach lo. I would have said, well, a shor is a kosher animal. It's one of the three types of animals, the cows, the goats, the sheep family that can be brought as a korban on the mizbeach. So only things that can be brought as a korban on the mizbeach, they're included in this din. So anything else that falls into a bar would not be chayiv. The owner of the bar would not be chayiv. So if you just wrote shor, that's what I would have learned out. No, if you just wrote vikos v'rachman chamar, if you wrote chamar, you know what I would have said? Hav amina kadosh b'bechora in shein kadosh b'chora lo. There is a special din by petech chamar that you have to redeem the firstborn of a donkey. So only animals we have to redeem the firstborn, or there's a din of a bechor by the animal. So then those animals you chayiv for in a bar, but other animals no. Shein kadosh b'chora lo. So therefore, that's why you need both shor and chamar. Shmuel says, you're right. Ella, Amakra, it says, Vahameis Yelo. It's not the drasha of the klal uprat that we just learned, but instead it tells us, how do we know that it includes all animals, including birds? Because it says, Vahameis Yelo. Anything called the Varmisa, anything that can die. So then the Baal HaBor will have to go and pay be chayiv to pay for anything that dies in the bar. She points out in Dibra Maskel Ella Lotema Chaza VeKlal LeMidrashi B'Chalu Pratu Klal. It's not a Klal Pratu Klal that we're darshing over here. El Amar Amakrad. The pasuk says VaMeisi Elo. That comes to teach us this din that it applies the Baal Habar is chayiv to any animal that dies in his bar. Any animal gets damaged in his bar. Okay, Gemara continues, says, Bein l'rabbanon d'komimati lu kelim. According to the Chachamim, the Darshan now, that it's shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim, so they exclude kelim. Or bein l'rabbi Yehuda d'komimati lu kelim, he says the word o, when it says, when a fal shom ashor o chamor, he pointed out that that comes to include kelim. Bottom line is, how do you say that this is, we just said, called var misa, kelim b'nei misa ninu? Are kelim something that dies? So Gemara says, yeah. Amre shvirasan zuhimisasan. From the fact that they are broken and smashed, that is quote their death. And therefore, Rashi says hilkach in dira masu shvirasan zuhimisasan hilkach lirabbanon also chamor. According to Chacham, you need the word chamor lemutenu, that you need the word chamor to go and exclude kelim hoel v'lav misa mamashi, because it's not actual death. V'shamor lemute adam sheino bim behema, and Adam has to be excluded because he's not a type of behemoth. Because we're one achad, if you only wrote one of them, hava mina lemute Adam, avo kelim lo. I would have said it only excludes man and not kelim. Dechi komimayit balechayim dekavase komimayit. And therefore, lohochi yitzru chamar. That's why you need chamar. That's why, according to the Chacham's opinion, you need both the words shor and chamar. However, Rabbi Huda, the O is leribui kelim. It comes to include kelim l'ribui kelim asa. So af al gad delav b'nei misa, you know, even though they're not something that normally is considered dying mamish, and therefore that's why you need the pasuk to tell me over here that it includes the kelim as well when it's shvirasim zuhi mitzasim. Vishar, you need shar l'mutei adam balichayim dekavase. You would have said, well, a common part of Yehuda chamor lomli. So then we're stuck. Why do we not? What Rashi points out that we're going to leave off in a question in the Gemara. Why do we need the word chamor according to Yehuda? We're not going to have an answer to that. In any event, where it says now, Shirasan Zui Misasan. So therefore, we have this concept by Kalim, also of the Kalim dying. Again, Chachamim say that they're excluded, and Yehuda says they're included based upon the drushes that we just said. Now the Gemara says, Ula Rav, according to the opinion of Rav, who said, the Omar bar shechiva olav Torah lehevlo v'lo lechavatu. Remember the machloks we had between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says that the reason why you chayev for bar is because of the hevel at the bottom of the bar, not the trauma, because the ground doesn't belong to you. And therefore, you're only chayev for the hevel. Shmuel had said you chayev for the hevel or the chavata. So according to Rav, that says, the bar shechiva olav Torah lehevlo v'lo lechavatu, it's only the hevel. So what does hevel have to do with Kalim? Bailer Rabban and Bailer of Yehuda, Kalim b'nei Havlan inu? Do the Kalim get impacted by the air? They don't breathe the air. So how can the Kalim be impacted by the Hevel? So how does Rav understand this whole discussion? So Gemara says, no, Amre b'chadeti. When you're dealing over here with brand new Kalim, so then the Mifkoye Mahavla, they can be impacted by the Hevel. Rashi elsewhere says in Yevamos that this Hevla, this noxious air, is hevel chamimus, kain oshen. It's something like a heated area. So the heat down there in the bottom of this pit somehow will maybe impact a new keli. It can, maybe it's not fully prepared. It's not, they dealt mostly with pottery, so maybe it hadn't gone fully through the fire. And as a result, it's not fully formed. And therefore, the heat at the bottom could somehow impact the keli. So therefore, that's how Rav would say that the hevel could go impact the keli when you're dealing with b'chadeti. Again, Rashi says b'chadeti means chadoshim. Now the Gemara asks, well, wait a second. You're telling me the words v'amesi alo are needed for this drasha. Hi, v'amesi alo, mi boy leil ch'the rabba. That was even in yesterday's shiur, the Amar Rabba, that we learn out, sharp psulei mikdashim shenafel lebar potter. The owner of the bar doesn't have to pay for a shard that's psulei mikdashim that falls into his pit. Shenema, because the pasuk says, v'amesi alo, v'misha mesh alo, if the mace belongs to you. And in sharp psulei mikdashim, even if it's been nifted, it's been redeemed, nevertheless, you don't own that carcass. You're not allowed to do with that animal anything you want. You can just shecht it and eat it. But you can't go and work with it. You can't go and shear it. You can't go and milk it. And when it dies, nebuch, as an availer, you can't go give it to your dog. So, b'misha meishalo, yotzezesh eina meishalo. So, how can you tell me we use the words v'meishalo to teach us that it's any animal? You need this for the drasha that Rav had brought down from yesterday. So Gemara says, you're right. Elo amakro, the pasuk also has another drasha. Kesef yoshiv livolov. That comes to be marbel rabos called the islay balim, anything that has balim. And therefore, the owner of the pit has to go and pay for anything that has ownership to it. So wait a second. So then why do we need shor and chamar anymore? If you're telling me that Kesef Yoshiv Livolov, that anything that has balis to it, so that's included in this din. So then I hachi afilu kelim yodam nami. So then it should also include kelim and adam. How did the Chachamim say, the author of our Mishnah, how do they say that kelim and adam are excluded? So amakra, shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim. Ah, that's why you need shor v'lo adam, chamor v'lo kelim, this drasha. So that works out great for the Chachamim. But wait a second. He says, v'nafal shama shor o chamor, the o comes to include kelim, so bishlama shor v'mayit v'yodam. So granted, he can use the drasha shor v'lo adam, he needs that. But he can't use the chamor v'lo kelim because he says that the word o comes to include kelim. So therefore, what does Rabbi Yehuda use the word chamor for? El chamor, mai mimayit be. What does he use it for? So the Gemara says, we don't have a reason. We don't have an answer to that. El Amar Rava, the Chamar over here by Bar, when it says, V'nafal Shama Shar O Chamar, we don't know, according to the opinion of Yehuda, what he uses the word Chamar for. And Rava says, we have a similar din that we find with an Aveda, where the Pasuk tells us you have to go return somebody's Aveda. It says, Lo Sira Eshar Ochicha, O Eshar Seyo, Nidochim, V'salam to him, that you should leave them alone. Hashem Tishivim Liochicha. And then it says a little bit later, v'chein tasel lechamoro, v'chein tasel l'simloso, v'chein tasel l'chol avidas ochicha, asher tovad mimenu umitzasa. So we have a lot of things over there, and we darshan all of them, but we can't find the drasha for the word sayo. V'seh di'aveda l'divri akol. There, it's according to everybody. It's not only according to Rabbi Yehuda. There, we don't know what the drasha is for seh, kasha. That's a kasha. The Gemara there doesn't go and explain what the drasha is. No, the Mefarshim talk about it, but the Gemara doesn't give us an answer. That's a kasha. Just like it's a kasha over here on Rabbi Yehuda, chamor. So it's a kasha on seh, what is coming to be included by mentioning in the pasuk seh. Then we quote the Mishnah, Nafal Esoch Hushor Chereish Shote V'Koton. If a shor, which I've explained the way the Maskon of the Gemara is, but we'll see, they have a discussion about it now, a shor that was not considered a mentally competent shor, in other words, there's something wrong with it, that it can't protect itself, which is also a shor shote, can't protect itself, it's a crazy shor, or a koton, it's too young to be able to be careful and not fall into a pit. In all of these situations, the balabor is chayiv. As opposed to, as we had said, if it was a competent shor, so then the balabar would not be chayev. Now, let's understand this better. The Gemara is going to explain what exactly is this shor. My shor chayre shor tvekotan. So first it's going to start off and suggest maybe it doesn't mean what I just told you. Maybe it means ilema shor shel chayre, shor shel shote, shor shel kotan. It's talking about an ox that belongs to a chayre, or a shote, or a kotan. And in this situation, Hashor Shor Pikeach would be potter. The implication would be that if it's a shor that belongs to Pikeach, then the balabar would be, in fact, potter, because the owner is a pikeach, so he would know to go and make sure that his shor doesn't get into trouble, as opposed to the shor of a cheresh or a shota or a katan won't know that, and therefore the shor will get into trouble. So that's what the Gemara wants to suggest. Gemara says, no, that's not correct. Amar Rav Yochanan, shor shehu cheresh, talking about a shor that it itself is a cheresh, or a shor that it itself is a hushote, or shor shehu katan, like we've explained. Rav Yochanan says the way we said it. We turn to the Nundalad on the base, and the Gemara says, but wait a second, that implies then, hashor shu pikeach potter. If it's a knowledgeable shor, it's a basic shor that knows how to watch itself from falling into pits, then the Baal Habor would be potter. The Gemara says, Amar Yirmiyah, lo miboy kumar. Maybe not. Maybe, in fact, it's telling us, lo miboy shor shu pikeach dechayev. Certainly, a shor that's a pikeach shor, of course the Baal Habor is going to be chayev. And the chiddush is that if it's a shor, avo shor chayre, shor to a katan, you might have said, emo chayre shuso garmelo. The fact that it was a chayresh caused it to fall into the pit, and therefore the Baal Habor shouldn't be chayiv. Or the katnuso garmelo, or the fact that it was a very young shor, and therefore it really didn't know how to watch it so carefully, that caused it to be chayiv. And therefore, lipater, therefore the Baal Habor doesn't have to pay, because it was the ox itself that caused the trouble. Shor chayresh or shor to a katan, they were the cause. And therefore, one might have thought that the Baal Habor would be, in fact, potter in that situation, komashalan, that even in that situation, the Baal Habor is chayev. So certainly if it's a pikeach, but even if it's not a pikeach, it's still the Baal Habor's fault. So Gemara says, no, that's not correct either. Amalei Ravachal Ravina, Ravach says Ravina, but wait a second, we learned in a braisa the exact opposite, Vatanya, Nofal Asocho Bar Das Potter. So it says in a braisa that if a Bar Das falls into the pit, the owner of the pit, the Baal Habor, is Potter. Now, isn't it talking about my lav shor Bar Das? Isn't it talking about a competent shor? And here it says that it's Potter. So Ravina responds to this from Ravacha, and he says, no, lo, it's talking about an Adam. It's talking about the person in that situation who is a Bar Das. So Gemara says, wait a second, Elamiata, Adam ben Das, who the Potter. You're telling me then, if you're reading this, no falasocho Bar Das, it means a person is Potter. So is that really true? Adam ben Das, who the Potter? Halad ben Das, who the Chayv? But if it's not a ben Das, and the person falls into the pit and he dies, In fact, the Balabar is chayev, but the pasuk says shor v'lo adam ksiv. That's the drasha we've been saying for the last 2 days, that it's shor v'lo adam. And therefore, the Balabar is not going to be chayev for an adam that dies in the bar. So it says, so Ella, Mai ben das. So what does it mean when the Brisa says, Nafal asocho bar das, your potter? It means min ben das. It means from the type of a species that has das. In other words, a human being. So the Balabar is potter for the death of any human being, whether that human being is in fact a bar das or not. Mara says, no, Amalei. Ravacha says back to Ravina, it's still not correct, because we have a Beferish Brisa that says otherwise. Well, Tanya, Nafal Asocho Shor Ben Das Potter. Here the Brisa says specifically, if it's a normal Shor and it falls in, so the Balabar is not held accountable, because after all, the Shor is a Bar Das, and it should know not to fall into a pit. So Mara says, you're right. El Omer Rabba. So what does it mean here? In our Mishnah, when it says Shor, Cheresh shote the cotton, it means shor v'hu cheresh, shor v'hu shote, shor v'hu cotton, dafka. In our mission, it's talking about those animals that are incompetent, and therefore they can't protect themselves. And therefore, if they fall into the bar, you can't say, well, they should have protected themselves. And that's why the Balabar is chayev. However, avol shor v'hu pikeach, it's a regular shor, and it knows not to go in, fall into pits, and then it does fall into the pit, then the Balabar is potter. Why? My time off. The boy lay iune umeza, because the shor is a bar das. It should know not to walk into a pit. So therefore, the owner of the pit is not chayev in that situation. And tani nam yochi, we learned this before. Ferish in the Brisa, Nafal Asocho, Shor Cheresh, Shote, V'Katan, the Suma, we had this Brisa the other day, if the animal that is a Shor Cheresh, or a Shote, or a Katan, or a Suma, a blind one, falls into the pit, and likewise, Umahalech Balayla, or if a Pikeach walks in at night, and at night you can't see, and you can't hold it accountable, in all of these situations, the Balabar is Chayev. However, Pikeach, Malach Bayom, but if it's a Pikeach, and it's walking during the daytime, when it should know better, the Boile Iune Umezal, then the Balabar is in fact going to be Potter. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us, Echad Shor, the Echad Kol Behema. Balach is the same whether you're dealing with a shor or any other animal. So when it says, you know, Fal Shom a shor o chamor, this doesn't mean just a shor and a chamor, as we've already learned. It means Echad Shor, the Echad Kol Behema. This halach applies to all animals. Now we use the terminology here, Behema. The Gemara will say, Behema and a chaya are included here as well. And the din here of the Behema, whether it's a shor, a chamor, or any other behemoth or a chaya, l'nefilas habar, the halach is all the same, that the baal habar is going to be chayev to pay for any damages that the bar causes to these animals. Likewise, when the Torah said, ul hafrashas har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, everybody should stay away from har Sinai, nobody's allowed to go up on har Sinai, so that includes as well any sort of an animal. As Rashi says, in behemoth imish ksiv, Banan marbinon chaya v'ov b'gemara. And the Gemara will extend this to not only a behema, but this will include a chaya and an ov as well. They weren't allowed to go up onto Har Sinai at the time of Matan Torah. Likewise, l'tashlume kefal. If somebody, as Rashi says, v'afal gav d'siv mishor v'ad chamor atzeh chayim shtayim mishalein, even though it says kefal only by those animals, shor chamor aseh, so shar behema v'chaya marbinon b'gemara v'chem b'kulu. And the Gemara will extend this to all the other animals, and this applies, Rashi says, to all the other things that we're talking about. The Torah tells us that you can't go and make believe that you don't see an ox on the road, v'salamta, but you have to go and return it to its owner. And this includes all the animals, as we'll darshan out in the Gemara, for this din of Hashavas Aveda. And for Hashavas Aveda, it will apply even to non-animals as well. Then the Mishnah says there's a din of, you have a mitzvah to go and help your friend unload his animal if it's underneath a burden. So this is called prika, lefrika, that you have an obligation to go and unload an animal. This pasuk says, azov tazov imo, you should go and help him out. So therefore, this obligation applies not only to echamor, as the pasuk says, kisireh, chamor sonacho, ruveitz tachas maso'o. So it says, azov tazov imo, you have to go and help him out. So it's not only echamor, this applies to other animals as well. Likewise, the din of lachasima, that there's an issur to go and be muzzling your animal while it's in the field. Lo sachsom shor bedisho, you're not allowed to go and muzzle an ox. So it doesn't say just for an ox, even though the pasuk does say for an ox, but this teaches us it applies to all animals as well. And again, we'll dash this all out in the Gemara. Likewise, the din of kilayim, that you're not allowed to go and mate two different species together, or you're not allowed to go and plow with two species together. So these are prohibitions that the Torah tells us, called kilayim. So this applies not only to the animals that are mentioned in the Torah, but it applies to all animals. And likewise, in regards to Shabbos, that you're not allowed to work your animals on Shabbos. Your animals have to rest on Shabbos. It says, they have to go and rest on Shabbos. So this applies to all animals and not only certain animals. And finally, likewise, this is also including chayos, as I pointed out, behemos. Normally, when it says behema, it often includes chay as well. And here it also includes of in these dinim. And just to go back, Rashi says in regards to kelayim, says the harvah, this is talking about mating interspecies. So even though the pasuk says d'chsiv behem d'chol lo sarbia kilayim, seeming to apply only to the behemos, so hevi nami chayv of, you also have the same prohibition for wilder animals. The chayos and the ofos are included in this. And likewise, Rashi says v'chei linyan kilayim v'anhaga d'lo sachrosh b'shar v'chamar, where the pasuk says you're not allowed to go plow together shor v'chamar, a ox and a donkey. So this applies to the other animals as well. So all of these dinim, they apply to behemos, chayos, and ofos. So obviously the Mishnah says, imkei lo menemar shor hachamar. So why does it constantly use the language of shor hachamar? So the Mishnah tells us what I mentioned earlier, this is where I got it from, elo shediber hakosuv behove. As Rashi says, bedover haragalios. What animals did they commonly use for all of these things? They were donkeys and they were oxen. Those were the common work animals that they had. So yes, it applies to an alligator as well, but they didn't usually own alligators. It applies to birds as well. They didn't usually own birds that they would use in these fashions. So therefore, all of these dinim apply to all the behemos, chayos, and ofos. And now the Gemara starts off and tells us, l'nefila sabar, in regard to the animal, v'nafal shor mashar o chamar. So the pasuk tells us specifically, shor and chamar, and kesef yoshiv livolah. But then the pasuk says, kesef yoshiv livolah, you'll go and pay for the damage that was done. So kesef yoshiv livolah kesef, and therefore it teaches us, called the isle balim. We had this drush in yesterday's shir, any animal that has a balim to it, so that's included, kidamorin, as we pointed out already, on the Amud Aleph. So this is how we know that the dinim of bar apply to all animals. Fine, that we already really learned in yesterday, earlier in the Shia. Now we go, how do we know that on Har Sinai, when it said that no person or animal is allowed to go up on Har Sinai, this included all the animals, the behemos, chayos, and the ofos. Lafrosh is Har Sinai, where do we know that from? Because the pasuk says, im behema, im ish, lo yichyeh. The pasuk says, if any behema or a person goes up there, they shall be killed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do not go up there. And we learn out the chayy b'chlal behema havya. When it says behema, it also includes the chayos. As Rashi points out, d'chsiv zos habema asher tochlu. And then it says right after that, d'chsiv basrei ayul tzvi v'yachmor. So therefore, when you have this pasuk in re'eh, teaching us which animals are included in the kosher animals and which are not, and then it mentions chayos, and doesn't just say behemos, so even though it called it zos habehema, it obviously refers to chayos as well. So therefore, v'chayy b'chal behema havya. And how do we know that it also comes to include birds? Because it said im behema. The word im is lirabos es ofos. Okay, so that's how we know that all the people and animals, behemos and chayos, as well as ofos, have to stay away from Har Sinai. Fine. How do we know the din of tashlume kefil? If you go and steal something, you're a ganav, and you go steal somebody's behemo, a chayo, or their ov, that you have to pay kefil. So that, kidamin, the pasuk says, al kol devar pesha, al shor, al chamor, al se, al salmo, al kol aveda, asher yomar ki uzeh, ad olokim, yavod rash lehem, asher yashun olokim, yishalein, shenayim l'reyeh. You have to pay kefil. So the first words of this pasuk, al kol devar pesha, that's a klal. And what does this klal come to include? Kol devor pishia. As Rashi says, afilu dover she'ein bo ruach chayim. So this includes even inanimate objects. So certainly an animal, a behem or a chayo or a bird, or even something that's, you steal somebody's car. So you have to go and pay kefil under the circumstances for which you would have to pay kefil for it. Okay, so that's the din for tashlum kefil. The next one in the Mishnah was lahashavas aveda, that this applies to all animals. So l'chol avedas ochicha, the pasuk says, for anything that your brother lost. In other words, this includes even the behemos, the chayos, the ofos, and even inanimate objects as well. Okay, the pasuk says befeish. Then it says leprika, that you have to go and unload your friend's animal. So it says kisires chamor sonacha ruveitz tachas maso. So it says chamor. So yolov chamor chamor mishabes. So we learn out the chamor in terms of the mitzvah of prika, we make a gzeir shabbat to Shabbos, where it also says the lashon of chamor, and therefore the dinim by Shabbos apply over here to the dinim of prika, and we'll see in a moment that the din by Shabbos applies to all animals, not just the chamor, so therefore it applies to prika, not just the chamor. It will be any animal that is overloaded, and you have to go and help him. Don't turn away, go and help your friend unload. So Rashi brings down that the word chamor is written by Shabbos. Dichsiv shorcha v'chamorcha v'chol behemtecha. But we'll wait a few minutes in the Gemara, a little bit further, a few lines down, to get to where we see the drasha for Shabbos. In any event, the next item that was mentioned in the Mishnah was lo sach som shor b'disho lechasima, the din of you're not allowed to muzzle an animal while it's working in the field. So again, yolif shor mi Shabbos. It says here shor, and it says by Shabbos shor. So therefore, we learn it out. Malahal and chaya v'of, Rashi says, are included by Shabbos. So too, they're included over here in the din of chasima, just like they were included in the din of prika. We haven't yet proven how we know it on Shabbos. We'll see that in a second. Then the next thing in the Mishnah says, likilayim, either to mate two different species together is not allowed, and this applies to all the animals, or to go and plow with them together, it applies to all the animals. So likilayim. So Gemara says, e kilayim de harisha, if you're talking about you're not allowed to plow two different animals together, so again, it says shor v'chamor, you're not allowed to plow them together. So yol of shor mishabbos. So we learn out here, just like shor by Shabbos meant all the animals, it didn't only mean shor, so to over here by kilayim in terms of plowing together. If you're talking about e kilayim darvo, that you're not allowed to mate two animals together from different species, so then we'll learn it out also from Shabbos, yol lif behemtecha mishabbos. So again, we're going to learn this all out, all of these dinim from Shabbos. And now the Gemara gets to v'gabi Shabbos minolim. Now we finally get to the point. How do we know in Hilchos Shabbos that you're not allowed to do all of these animals and not just the ones that are mentioned? So the Gemara says, because the Tanya, we learn the following brisa. Rav Yossi omer mishum Rabbi Shmuel. Rav Yossi says the name of Rabbi Shmuel. Bedibros harishonos nemar. In the first set of dibros that are listed in Parshas Yisro, it says abdecha v'amosecha uvemtecha. So it says you're not allowed to do work with your eved, with your maidservant, and with your animals. It uses animals in general. And in the second set of Dibros, in Parshas Veschanan, over Dibros Vachronos Nemar, it says over there, V'sharcha, V'chamorcha, V'chol Bemtecha. So there it lists also all of the animals. V'alo shor v'chamor, b'chlal kol behemayu. Why did it have to list them separately? Aren't shor and chamor included in behemos? So why were they listed separately? V'loma yotzu, why were they taken out and listed separately? To teach us the following din, loma l'cha. Ma shor v'chamor omur kan, just like over here, it's all the animals, behemtecha. Chaya v'ov kayotze behen, this includes not only the shor and the chamor, it includes all the animals, including chayos and ofos, so too, af kol, every place where it says shor and chamor, it comes to be marbe chaya v'ov kayotze behen. It always includes chaya and ov as well. And we'll see, Rashi points out, u'kami meforish taima mi v'chol behem t'cha. The extra word v'chol comes to do this riboy, as we'll see in a moment. Now, the Gemara says, maybe Ema, Behema, when it says Behema in the Dibros Rishonos, that's a klal. When it says in the first set of the Aseret Dibros in Parshas Yisro, it says, Abdecha v'amoscha uvemtecha. That's a klal. Then it says, Sharcha v'chamorcha in the second set of Dibros in Parshas V'echchanan, that's Achronos, Sharcha v'chamorcha b'dibros Achronos, that's a prat. So you basically have a klal uprat, and the rule is aim b'klal elamashim uprat. As we've mentioned many times, when you have a klal followed by a prat, the prat really runs the show. Shor v'chamor, therefore, in midi achrina lo. So that would imply that it's only a shor and a chamor, and not any other animals. So the Gemara says, no, amrei. It then says v'chol behemtecha. It says v'shor cho v'chamorcha v'chol behemtecha. So v'chol behemtecha that it says in Parshas V'eschanan, the Dibros Achronos, that's another klal, and therefore chazav v'chlal, and therefore we have a klal uprat uklal, and therefore iyat don elakin uprat. When you have a klal uprat uklal, it's everything that's like the prat. So ma prat mefurish balichayim, just like the prat includes any balchay, so too af kol balichayim. So too it includes all Balei Chaim everywhere, including the Behemos, the Chayos, and the Ofos. And Rashi says, Af Kol means Mokom, every place that it says, Shor V'chamor, Kigom by Prika, by Chasima, by the unloading obligation, by the muzzling, you're not allowed to muzzle your animal obligation, and any place else. So it means, when it says Shor and Chamor, it means anything that's like them. V'domim Lohem, Kigom, for example, Chayo V'of, V'chayotzi V'hen. Okay, so that's how we darshan it out from Shabbos. But now the Gemara chazes over that which we had on the Omid Aleph to say maybe this is really not what we just said it is. V'eimah ma prat mefurish dover shenivloso mitami b'mag v'masa. Just like we had there when we said shor and chamor, when we had there the nefal shom shor and chamor, we said maybe it comes to specify only animals that are mitami as an avela with maga and masa. So only such animals would in fact be included in this klalu pratu klal. So too, I've called over shinid loss of mitami b'mag v'masa. However, that would be behemos and chayos, but not ofos. Avol ofos lo, because birds only mitame when you swallow them b'beis habliya. So Therefore, this would exclude birds. So Gemara says, no, Amrei, Im Kain, if that were true, Nichtav Rechbon Echad Protev, it would only be necessary to write either one or the other, either write Shor or write Chamor. And that would teach me something that's Metami B'Magru Masa. And therefore, when it writes both of them, that's why it teaches me it comes to be Marbe everything. Gemara says, that's not true. Which one should you write that you would have said, oh, it should only write one of them? Hey, Nichtov Rechbon. Again, this is a repeat of what we had on the Oman Aleph. If it had said, Ikosav Rechbon Ashar, if it just had written the word Shar, you know what I would have said? Hava Amino, Korav Legabi Mizbeachin. Ashar is one of the three types of species, the cows, the goats, and the sheep, that can be brought up on the Mizbeach as a carbon. So only those that can be brought up on the Mizbeach, these dinim apply to. Shenu Korav Legabi Mizbeach Lo, but something that isn't brought as a carbon would not be included. So it can't just write Shar, because that's the misconception that we would have had. Oh, so therefore, write Chamor, because of Rechmona Chamor, you'd have the same problem in a different way. Because of Rechmona Chamor, have a mean of Kadosh B'Bechor in, She'ain Kadosh B'Bechor lo. So what do you say? This includes animals that there's a din of Bechor, but it excludes, as Rashi says, Susim and Gamalim. It would exclude the other animals that don't have any Kedushas Bechor to them. Therefore, because of Rechmona Shar. Therefore, you need to write both Shar and Chamor, and therefore, why isn't this the din of only those that are matami b'magru b'masa? So the Gemara answers and says, exactly. It's not the shor and the chamar does it, as I pointed out before, as Rashi indicated. Ella, it says v'chol behemtecha. The words v'chol is a ribuy. V'chol behemtecha is a ribuyhu, and that's how we learn it out that it applies to behemos, chayos, and ofos. So the Gemara questions this. It says, really, v'chol hecha d'kosar rachmona kol ribuyu? Wherever the Torah writes the word v'chol, like it did over here, v'chol behemtecha, wherever the Torah uses the word kol, it means a ribuy? I'll show you that that's true. V'chol gabi ma'iser, in regards to ma'iser sheni. When we have stam ma'iser, it means ma'iser sheni. So it says, in regards to ma'iser sheni, d'siv kol. The full pasuk is unasata kesa bechol asher te'ave nafshecha. You can take your ma'iser sheni funds and purchase with it anything that your heart desires. That's the klal, and then it gives us a prod. The baker, vaton, vayayin, vashechar. And then it says again, uvechol, asher tishalcha, navshecha, anything that you want. Now, this drasha system goes as follows. V'chol gabi ma'iser d'chsiv kol, and yet, v'chol darshina lei b'chol prat. It's not a riboy for everything. It's darshina is a chol prat. As the pasuk says, the Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, v'nosata kesa v'chol asher tiyave navshecha, that's the klal. Then it says, v'baker, vaton, vayayin, vashechar, that's the prat. And then, that's another klal. So we have a klal pratu klal, and you have to don't elikin a prat, as we've mentioned many times. You darsh that for anything that's like the prat, has to have something similar to the prat to be included. So ma prat miforish pri, mi pri, vigidule karka. So to the prat over here, which specifies babokar, batzon, bayayin, v'sheichar. These are all things that are a pri from a free, pri. And they grow from the ground. So that's the prat. We'll explain this in a second. I've called pre, mi pre, gedule karka. Anything that has these two characteristics, it's pre, mi pre, and it's gedule karka, would be included over here. Now, how are bakar, tzon, yayin, and sheikha pre, mi pre, and gedule karka? So Rashi explains in pre, mi pre, he says, vlad, mi vlad. It grows from something else. So a bakar, tzon, and other animals, they all are coming from parents. So vlad, mi vlad. And Yayin comes from Anovim, so it's also a pre. The Shechar comes from a Tuarim. They're talking about here date beer, so it comes from Tuarim. And this is as opposed to Limute, Kamein, Upitrios. This excludes, for example, various types of mushrooms, Umayim, Umelach, water, and salt. The Eno Primipri, they don't come from another origin. They don't come from another water, so to say, from another salt. And likewise, the term gedule karka is limute dogim. That excludes fish. Einam nikhin bekesef maisa. You can't use maisa sheni to go out and buy yourself salmon, to buy yourself tuna fish. So therefore, this primi pri and gedule karka, that's the common denominator of bakar, tzon, yayin, and sheikhar. And therefore, anything like them is allowed to be purchased with maisa sheni funds. And you see that it's a klalu pratu klal system. We don't say kol is marbe everything. So Gemara says, you're right. Amre bekol klola. Kol is riboy. You're right. Here we had bikol. It says unasata kesef bikol asher uvechol asher tisholcha. So when you have the word bikol, so then it's a generalization. It's a klal. However, when you just have the word kol by itself, like vechol behemtecha, so then ribuyahu. Then it is a riboy. That's terence number one. Terence number two. We buy the same more. When the word kol is written, also nami kolu, it could sometimes be a klal. However, miu, hai, kol, in kol behemtecha, kol dehocha ribuyu. Here it is a ribuy. Why? Mi dahavale lemichtav uvehemtecha. It didn't have to say v'chol behemtecha. it could have very simply said, v'sharcha v'chamorcha uvehemtecha. It said, v'chol behemtecha. That's truly an extra word. So, miu, hi, kol dehocha ribuyuhu. It could have just said the word uvehemtecha. Like it said in the first Hasara Sadibros, in Parashas Yisro, there it said, Abdecha v'amoscha uvemtecha. It didn't say v'chol behemtecha. So in the first Hasara Sadibros, it said uvemtecha. In the second Hasara Sadibros, in Va'eschanan, it could have said uvemtecha, but it said v'chol behemtecha. It didn't say it like it did in the first Dibros. It changed it because of the whole Bantach in the second Aseret Dibros, Shmamino Ribuya. That's the Ribuy. And therefore, you learn out, it includes all animals, Behemos Chayos, as well as Ophos. Now, the Gemara says, Hash the Amrits call Ribuy Hu. Now that you're telling me the word call is Ribuy, so wait a second. When it says Behemdecho in the Dibros, Harishonos, when it says Uvehem Abdecho Vamos Uvehemdecho, and then it says, Vishor v'chamor de dibros achronus lomeli. Why do then we need to tell me in the second set of dibros, in Voeschanan, shor v'chamor v'chol behemdecha? We already know the call there is a reboy, so what do we learn adding by having the word shor and chamor there? So what says Amri? We need that. We need that for the Gzereshava. The Gzereshavas that we had previously in regards to Priko and Chasima. So Amri, we need shor liagmuri, shor, shor lechasima, and we need chamor liagmuri, chamor, chamor lefrika. That's why these are written again in the second Aseret HaDibros in Parshas Voeschanan. Then the word behemtecha is leagmuri behemtecha. We need that for the gzereshava behemtecha behemtecha likilayim to teach us the din by kilayim. So that's why these extra words seemingly are written in the Aseret HaDibros. Gemara says, if this is true, ihachi afilu adam litzar. So then, wait a second. It should be forbidden then, even for a human being to go and pull a wagon or a plow or anything with an animal. You shouldn't be able to go with a horse and walk with a horse and pull something. Alomatznan, but that's not true, because the Mishnah in Kilayim tells us, Beferish, Odom Mutar im Kulon, Lachrosh Velimshoch. You can walk with a horse or walk with an ox and do your plowing, your harisha, or to go and pull something. So why is a human being, which should be learned out from this Gzereshava, not included in the Gzereshava against Kilayim of a man working with an animal? All the animals have to work only with the same species. How come man is allowed to work with the animals based upon this Gzereshava? So I'm a Rapapa. Rapapa says, Papanoi yode taimo doha milsa. The people that come from Papanoi, they know the answer to these types of questions. Who is he referring to? Umanu Rav Acha bar Yaakov. He's specifically referring to Rav Acha bar Yaakov. He is B'nai Papanoi, which is the name of a place, Rashi says, Shei Mokom. In the next Rashi, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he says that Rav Acha bar Yaakov came from Mipapunoi, Hoya. As he brings down the Perkim Bava Basra, Shutvin, Dorish Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Mipapunoi. There it says, Beferish, Rav Acha bar Yaakov came from Papunoi. He said that the Sotah and the Penima, both working L'Shem Shemayim, to antagonize, so to say, Chana, that she should daven harder to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have a child, and which she ultimately did, having Shmuel. In any event, what did Rav Acha bar Yaakov say in regards to our drasha? So he says, Amar Kra, Rav Acha bar Yaakov said, the pasuk tells us, Leman yanuach abdecha v'amosecha kamocha, that your servants, your male servants or your female servants, they should rest kamocha, just like you. And therefore, only in regards lahanocha hikashtiv, only in regards to resting on Shabbos, are human beings and animals compared. But not for something else. As Rashi says, so the people are only compared to the animals in regards to resting on Shabbos, but not in regards to the din of Kilayim. And therefore, in regards to Kilayim, a human being, or an Eved, or an Amma, any type of human being, a free person, an Eved, or an Amma, is allowed to go work with animals. As opposed to on Shabbos, there's a chiyuv to go and have all human beings at rest that are yours, just as with your animals, you have a chiyuv to have them rest as well. We'll just do a little bit more, and we have a little piece of Agadita, and actually a lot of the end of the parak is Agadita. So, Shaul Rabbi Chanina ben Ogil asked Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Rabbi Chanina ben Ogil, he asked Rabbi Chiya bar Abba the following question. In the first Aseret HaDibros, in Parshas Yisro, it doesn't say the word Tov. However, Ubidibros HaAchronos, in the second set of Dibros, in Parshas Voeschanan, and we turn to Nunhei Amud Aleph, it does say the word Tov. Nemar bohem tov, as it says, uluman yitav loch. So it does say the word tov, as Rashi brings down in regards to kibud of aim. It says, luman yitav loch. So why is only in the second set of dibros and not in the first set of dibros? So shockingly, Rav Chiya bar Abba tells him, omalo, How should I know? Achato shoaleini. That you're asking me, Loman Emar Behem Tov in the second set and not in the first set, you should have asked me, Shaleini im Nemar Behem Tov im Lof. You should have asked me, is it the word Tov written in the first or the second set of a series of Dibros? Sheni Odeya im Nemar Behem Tov im Lof. Because I don't know if, in fact, either the first set of the series of Dibros or the second set of the series of Dibros has the word Tov in it. Now, Tosos in Bava Basra says amazingly, yes, sometimes even great Amorayim, who knew all the Mishnayos by heart, but they didn't always know all the Pesukim by heart. An amazing Tosus in Bava Basra on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. Tosus says, yes, sometimes they didn't know the Pesukim. However, many suggest that, no, he was just being extremely humble over here. And he says, oh, instead of asking me this very, very good question, should have asked me if I even know it at all, that the word Tov is there. He was just being very, very humble. Alternatively, there's a very nice pshat. They saw one of the footnotes here in the art scroll. They bring down for the base Aaron. It tells us a phenomenal gematria over here that the first Aseres HaDibros has 172 words, and the second set of the Aseres HaDibros in Vo'es Hanan has more words. It has 17 more words, which is the gematria of Tov, has 189 words. And therefore, it was this that he was saying, how should I know how many words there are? That's already something that I didn't know, that there should be Tov, more words in the second set of the Aseres HaDibros, that I did not know. In any event, in order to answer the question that he was asked, he said, I can't answer it for you. Go klach etzel Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chaniloi. Go and ask this great Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chaniloi. He was a regular Talmud of Rav Shuman Levi. Shoya Rogil etzel Rav Shuman Levi, who is a master. Shoya Baki v'agoda. He knows a tremendous amount of agoda, and therefore he would know the answer. No. So he went to go and ask, Rechniv and Agil went to go and ask Ozel Legabe to Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chaniloi, who was a regular by Rabbi Shua Belevi. And Rabbi Tanchum Baruch Eloi told him, Omalei, Nimenu lo shabati. I never actually heard the answer that is from Shua Belevi. However, Elokach Amarli, I did hear an answer from Shmuel Bar Nochum. Who is Shmuel Bar Nochum? He was Achi Imo. He was the brother of the mother. In other words, the maternal uncle of Shorav Acha B'Rabbi Chanina. Alternatively, Yarmi Lo, he said that he had heard it from Avi Imo, from the maternal grandfather, the father of the mother of Rav Achai B'Rabbi Chanina. Whoever it was that he heard it from, however, told him, hold the soul from the Shtaber, since the first set of Luchos would ultimately be broken by Moshe Rabbeinu when he saw the eagle, so therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to write down the word Tov in the first Luchos, he only wrote it down in the second Luchos. So Gemara questions this and says, really, V'chisofo l'shtaber, my Havi, the fact that they'll ultimately be destroyed. So he wrote a whole series of the Aseres HaDibros. The Aseres HaDibros is still going to be destroyed, but he still wrote them down. So why not write the word Tov? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Ashi, the reason he didn't want to do that, because it could, Chas V'Shalom, lead people to think that Tov would end for Klal Yisrael. Chas V'Shalom, Poska Tov Am Yisrael. People might mistakenly think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking away the Tov from Klal Yisrael because of the sin of Chet Egel. So therefore, to negate that wrong impression, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't put the word Tov in the first set of the Aseres HaDibros, and he only put in Leman Yitav Loch in the second Aseres HaDibros. This is a good break point, even though we're going to still have more Agadot over here. But we'll stop here, and with this we conclude today's shiur.